Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The debate on if the government should be allowed to implement mask requirements rages on in Texas as the state halts its reopening due to a massive spike in confirmed cases and hospitalizations. We're now joined by Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin to get his take on these events. And Speaker Bonin, it is great to have you on The Source this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about COVID. So tell me what you want Texans, particularly conservatives who you represent, what they should be thinking about as they are dealing with going out into the public.
Well, it's very simple. I mean, what we should be thinking about is how to keep our economy going, how to keep businesses open, how to keep them successful and profitable. And the way you do that is that, you know, whether we like it or not, which no one does, I don't, is that we're going to have to live and work around COVID. COVID's not going away tomorrow or next week. It's going to be here for a little bit. And so we also know those that we know how to successfully do these things. We know that if we wear a face covering in public, socially distance to the best of our ability, and wash our hands regularly and have good hygiene in general, that we can be successful in Texas and across the country, living and working around COVID, having an economy, having people stay in their jobs, have businesses stay in business, and doing those things. So it's a very simple concept. It's a very minor imposition of wearing a mask or face covering in public. But what it does is pretty significant because it keeps businesses going, and that's what we need to be doing right now.
Still, there are people who are protesting the fact that people are being asked to wear a mask. And right now it is a request. It's not a requirement. It is in Bexar County, but in some counties statewide, it is not. This is what a protest sounded like just yesterday in Austin.
We can't breathe. We can't breathe. We can't breathe. We can't breathe. We can't breathe.
So this is a protest organized by listeners of Alex Jones. He's a sort of unusual individual who's on the radio, on the internet. So people are protesting this.
Well, that's one of the great things about Texas and America is people have a right to protest. But I don't think it should be misrepresented. Those individuals are probably a rather small, minute group. I don't think they represent a traditional conservative or Republican in Texas or anywhere. And candidly, I think that the fact that people want to characterize the issue as being partisan are frankly harming the health and the well-being of Texans and the economy. The reality of it is, you know, I was honored to welcome Vice President Pence to Texas yesterday morning in Dallas. Governor Abbott was wearing a face covering. I was wearing a face covering. Attorney General Ken Paxton was wearing a face covering. Of course, Vice President Pence was. And so the reality of it is it's a simple concept that helps protect Texas businesses and Texas health. And simply because a group of individuals that have every right to protest, last time I checked, whether it's an issue on the far left or on the far right, there's always a group willing to show up and protest. But that doesn't then define the entirety of a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative, or a liberal. And I think that's a mistake that's being made on this issue.
Okay, so we should focus on if people will wear a mask and abide by social distancing, we will be in a better position in Texas to get through this and so that we can get back to the business of Texas, getting people to their jobs and getting the economy running again. That's really the bottom line. Is that it?
No, it is the bottom line. And the reality of it is, whether we like it or not, we are several months away from having a vaccine because you just can't create a vaccine that quickly. With that in mind, we also don't have an absolute treatment. And so the lacking of a vaccine and the lacking of a treatment means that if we want to have an economy and we want to keep people employed and we want people to be able to feed their families and take care of themselves, we're going to have to do the things that allow us to live and work around the vaccine. And those things are simple. Those things are wearing a face covering in public. Those things are washing your hands regularly. Those things are social distancing. And frankly, for more at-risk populations, it is them staying at home unless they have to get out.
All right, let me go to a caller. This is Paul. Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that I agree, first and foremost, with everything the House Speaker has said, and I'm a registered Democrat. Now, with that being said, I do think we all need to come together. And my question is, how can we all agree across the political spectrum? This is about politics. It's about, you know, getting our jobs back, getting our lives back together, just bringing us all together. How can we agree to just go above politics?
All right. Thank you, Paul, for the question. So, Speaker, how do we depoliticize this issue?
I think, Paul, I appreciate your question. I appreciate your sentiments. If more folks had the sentiment you did, I think we'd be in a better spot. But part of it is we have to quit biting the bait of the politicalization. I don't want to go to war with Alex Jones, but let's be clear. Alex Jones is not a normal, traditional, mainstream Republican or conservative. And so the more we give credence and credibility to someone who is broadcast over the internet and is not on a mainstream broadcast station, we are creating the divide. And the more we highlight the opposition instead of the support, we create the divide. Yesterday, as I mentioned, you know, when the vice president came to town, everyone was wearing a mask. Everyone was being supportive. And the reality of it is, he went to attend church in Dallas and then receive a briefing on how one of our medical schools and research centers is helping support the recovery and the response and support patients. So I think the more that we recognize the reality that we are in a global pandemic, we are all in this together. It's not a Republican job or a Democrat job. It is not a Republican who keeps a job or a Democrat who loses a job. It's all of us in this together. And this is what America was based on. America was based on personal responsibility, personal sacrifice, supporting and caring for one another, and frankly, respecting each other's differences. I mean, the bottom line is that we had our country founded by those who didn't feel they had the right to disagree with those in the ruling authority. And so we have to be more respectful of disagreement, but those disagreements should not and are not needed to divide us. Because there shouldn't be very much disagreement about wearing a face covering in public when it will keep people safe from a health crisis, and it'll also keep our economy on track. But I think it's by toning down the rhetoric, and it's looking for where we can come together and not looking for where we can point out division and create further division. I think it's where we make the point to find where we can find agreement and support and commonality and be together and quit obsessing over the opportunities for division.
Does the governor have the authority to order a statewide mask mandate?
I imagine he might. I'm not certain, but it would not work. It would be a very bad idea. I think people forget that there are 200-plus counties, 254 counties in Texas. Some counties in Texas have less than five COVID cases. So the truth of it is, having the authority for a local city and county official to decide what is best, which I find ironic, frequently people say, especially on the city and county level, and they're correct, they want local control. And then the governor is providing them complete local control on the issue. And it will work best that way, because those who are refusing to wear a mask are not going to respond very well to a statewide order, especially if they're in areas that they believe are less required or in necessity of it. And frankly, it's not even, in my opinion, a protest against wearing a mask as much as they're trying to protest against any form of government telling them what to do. It's a very small segmented group of the population that takes that kind of a view, but a government entity telling them they have to do it won't really get them to change their attitude and their behavior. What I hope would change their attitude and behavior is, again, what we're all about, is that is, you know, caring for the person that you've never met that's standing down the street and that you're going to encounter. It's about showing consideration and respect and compassion for others. And so that's what we'll get through more so. But in the course, in communities where they feel they should have a mandate on wearing a mask, they have that opportunity to do it, and it'll be far more successful than a blanket statewide mandate in a very diverse state like Texas.
So are you saying a requirement would be counterproductive and the best action is to appeal to reason?
No, that's not at all what I said.
Okay. I thought you'd say no requirements. That's not going to work. People will push back. But appealing to people and saying, hey, let's be smart about this, you'll get better results.
Well, I think, one, you would get better results with that, but I also didn't say that that's a bad idea. You asked me about a blanket statewide mandate, and I'm explaining the diversity of Texas and that some parts of Texas have little to no COVID cases active, and then in parts where it's a bigger challenge that we're managing through, those local officials have the ability to mandate a mask, and I think it's good when they have, and they have the ability to turn that on and off. And it will work better being done on a localized effort. And yes, regardless of the government mandate, what will be most successful is people simply recognizing that this is the right thing to do. And quite frankly, they're restricting everyone else's freedom and liberty by demanding that they are needing their freedom and liberty by refusing to wear the mask.
Okay, so we're going to continue talking. We're going to go to a break. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, we have Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin. We're talking about wearing a mask and how this is something that if everyone would do, that this would be a move in the right direction to help our economy get through COVID-19. If you have a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we're joined by Jeanette on the line. And Jeanette, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for letting me ask a question. Even though people are living in a small town, they have five only, and the big town will have 900. But this is a commerce. We travel each other, travel around for market and everything. I think everybody should have a mask. And for the next 21 months, we're going to have a lot of COVID. It's not going to come away. So I feel like that we should. I don't understand why a small town or a small, few people have five in here, 200 in there, 200 will wear a mask and 5,000. It doesn't make no sense because we all travel around and it's going to cross and it doesn't divide small town or big town. So I think,
thank you, Jeanette. Thank you so much for the call. Speaker Dennis Bonin, we're seeing rural areas also getting hit with COVID.
Certainly. And those rural area mayors and county judges can require a mask. And I would remind the caller that if someone travels from a small community with very few COVID cases into a larger metro community that requires a mask, that requirement would be on them to wear one. And so that's how it works. So it's, again, local control, which I think is important, and those local officials often say is very important to them. And so the reality of it is they have the ability to make those decisions. There are some smaller, more rural communities that have required masks because they see the challenge in their community, but it also allows them to manage that more effectively depending on what their case counts look like. And truthfully, we're encouraging people who are in high-risk areas to not travel about any more than is absolutely necessary and probably shouldn't be taking trips far from the community they live and operate in because that will put them at greater risk regardless of what precautions they're taking.
How should individuals talk about this with their friends and family? Or if I see someone at a store, I mean, there's a lot of people mask shaming online. What's the right way to do this?
Well, I mean, for sure, the mask shaming is not the right way to do it. I recently wrote an editorial or made a statement that, you know, I kind of wish those that would get reversed. I wish that those who are wearing a mask, I don't want anyone to be shamed, but, you know, the reality of it is you ought to feel more uncomfortable not wearing a mask than making those who are wearing a mask comfortable. And how you do that is by more people doing it. But the reality of it is that it's just a very illogical conversation. You can't say that you're standing up for freedom and liberty while you're taking an action that restricts yours and everyone else's freedom and liberty. At the end of the day, freedom and liberty is having an economy. Freedom and liberty is having a job. And more importantly than having a job, it's having customers and business to transact in that job and in that business. And not wearing a mask poses a real threat to having that freedom and that liberty. And so it's really just getting people to grasp the concept that if you want these opportunities that we all desire, and we want a fully operating economy or as close as possible, there are some simple choices to be made, very easy to do, wearing a mask. I don't love doing it, but it's not that hard. And for what I'm able to ensure the safety of the health of those around me and hopefully keeping our economy on track, it's worth it. It's not even a hard question. And so I think that it's rather simple, and I think also if we would quit discussing it in political terms, you know, recently you've seen where Vice President Dick Cheney, who, you know, did a social media post showing himself wearing a mask. I mean, this is not really a partisan question or a partisan issue. You know, President Bush has been clear about the need to wear a mask. And so you're seeing it across the board. And I think the truth of it is we're highlighting those who are wanting to politicize it and wanting to make it more polarized when it doesn't have to be. And I don't think it, frankly, is that much. And so I think we just need to start talking about it in more positive terms and respecting each other far more. And being more supportive of each other in this effort to come together as Texans and protect our economy and protect those at risk and keep things on track.
Let's go to a voicemail that we have.
There is a new breed of the so-called patriots who are not conforming with the requirements of wearing a mask at businesses and anywhere else where it's required. I have seen these so-called patriots enter a business and being told the store policy of wearing a mask. They become defensive and ready to use abusive language and or physical force to enter the business, and they make it known that they will not give up their rights to be forced to wear a mask. The impression they give is that they're irresponsible and they don't care about anybody else. We're going to lose many more Texans because these patriots can carry the highly contagious, deadly virus.
That's an anonymous voicemail that we got for the speaker, Dennis Bonin. So what do people mean why they have a right not to wear a mask, or being told to wear a mask is an infringement on their rights? Do you understand that? Can you help me understand that?
No, I really can't, because it's a ridiculous statement. If I could understand it, I might be able to better figure out how to convince them to change their behavior. And to the anonymous voicemail, I wouldn't call them patriots. They want you to call them patriots, but they're not being patriots. They're being, I would argue, the exact opposite of a patriot. And so the reality of it is I can't understand the logic. It's been rather baffling to me, to be candid, because they are literally taking action against what they say they care about. And I don't mean to be overly harsh or disrespectful, but if the biggest accomplishment and their biggest drive towards freedom and liberty is not wearing a mask in a business that says you should, they have a pretty empty life, and they have very little that they're succeeding at if that's their accomplishment of the day and of the month. The reality of it is, it's not hard to do, and it works against what they say they care about, which is the economy and jobs and freedom. A great example is, you know, our country was based on the freedom of religion, being able to choose where you worship. Well, churches in Texas have never been shut down by Governor Abbott at any time. But church leaders made the choices to not have in-person church services. That's a restriction of a freedom and liberty that our country was founded upon. And not wearing a mask creates that restriction. It's not a government action. And so it is illogical. I can't explain it. I wish I could. But the truth of it is, we need to work together to have that group become smaller and smaller. And don't forget that for some of these individuals, they want it to be chaotic. They want to create a ruckus, and they want to be recognized. I would argue they should be ignored. It's sort of like a child throwing a tantrum. You know, honestly, if you quit paying attention to it, they probably stop throwing the tantrum. And that's, I think, a lot of what's going on with some of these individuals, particularly those who want to be more public about it.
Now, you mentioned former Vice President Dick Cheney and President Bush and others who have said, wear a mask. You yourself are saying wear a mask. It's the smart thing to do. It's the conservative thing to do. It's the thing that will help us get through the reality of COVID-19. However, we're not really getting a clear message like that coming from the current president, Donald Trump. Would you be happy to see him wear a mask and speak with clarity that full-throated, everyone should be wearing a mask?
It's not my place to tell the president what to do or not to do. I am very proud to have greeted Vice President Pence, who was wearing a mask and wore a mask on his visit to Texas just yesterday. The president, in all candor, is a little bit different because whether people like it or not, the president really doesn't come in contact with the public. In reality, the president is not President Trump, but all presidents. They're actually fairly secured and aren't really moving about. And, you should be wearing a mask in public. And the truth of it is, President Trump doesn't frequently find himself in open public places where he's within six feet of people. In that scenario, would it be great if he wore a mask? Sure, it would. But the reality of it is, he's not living in the same circumstances as the rest of us. And that's every American president, whether we want to recognize that or not. But if you look at the people around President Trump and you look at the leaders around, Governor Abbott has been very clear that you should wear a mask. He's wearing a mask. There are lots of leaders from a Republican perspective who are showing that leadership and making that request.
So it seems to me like we have to deal with a public health care crisis and an economic crisis. And what we're trying to do is, are we trying to figure out solutions that will help us through both of these really tough times?
That's exactly right, because the reality of it is, and it's the balancing act that Governor Abbott has done an exceptional job of managing. I think sometimes people forget that in a global health pandemic, any reasonable decision that's made, a reasonable person could argue they should have done something different. But I think Governor Abbott has done an exceptional job. And I hope Texans, whether they agree or disagree with every decision he's made, I hope they at least appreciate that they have a governor who is fully engaged, basically 24/7, on this matter. I mean, my biggest concern for Governor Abbott is that he's getting a proper amount of rest and what have you. He is, I get text messages from him in the middle of the night. I've talked to him on the phone late at night, early in the morning. Governor Abbott is leading and working tirelessly. And it's the balance that he's trying to strike, which is, as you protect folks in our state from a health crisis, if you kill our economy, you then have unemployment go up, and as unemployment goes up, you have higher suicide rates, higher domestic violence, higher drug overdoses, all of which create death also. So that's the real balance that we're having to create in Texas, and that's where those who refuse to wear a mask are creating a bigger problem towards the goals that they say they are trying to obtain.
Dennis Bonin is the Speaker of the Texas House. Thank you so much for joining us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.